With the Baker's Plus card, it's easy to get lower than low prices. For the win! Earn fuel points on every purchase and save up to a dollar a gallon at the pump. The Baker's Plus card. All you do is win. Big, big savings. Sign up now at bakersplus.com and start saving. Baker's. Fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your favorites with the Buy 5 or More Save a Dollar Each sale. Simply buy 5 or more participating items and save a dollar each with your card. Baker's. Fresh for everyone.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Who Cares About the Rock Hall, a podcast about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm your host, Joe Quazala. I know too much about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I refuse to apologize for it. With me, as always, via Zoom video chat, is my co-host, who doesn't know anything about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. If she learns something, she forgets it, and she doesn't know what we're doing today or who the guest is. It's Kristen Studdard. Hello.
Clueless and also refusing to apologize, it's me.
Hey, Kristen. Welcome.
Hello.
To this mystery of a show for you.
Truly not a clue. I've been on the Zoom for 3 minutes and just I've seen what our guest looks like and that's all I know.
Right. Well, let's go ahead and bring him in. I'm excited to have him. He is not only a writer for Rolling Stone, but he is the dedicated journalist who covers the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for Rolling Stone. It's Andy Green.
Hi, how you doing?
Andy, thank you so much for joining us. I'm excited to have you.
Of course, Andy, I'm so sorry. That's your beat? The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Yeah, that is one of my beats. I've been doing it for a long time.
Did you choose it?
I sort of started my career there in a weird way. I'm from Cleveland, so I've sort of been a part of the Hall of Fame world for a very long time in a weird way.
You remember like when they built the museum and everything? Believe me, do know that the Hall of Fame is different. It's an ephemeral idea that lives in the hearts of middle-aged men, but that the actual building is a museum.
Yes, I remember very well when it opened and the giant concert that they held there. It was a very big deal in the town. And I worked there about 5 years later when I was in high school. So I sort of started my career at the actual museum.
What were you doing? What was your specific title?
It changed over the years. I did my senior project there. So I was 18 when for 4 weeks at the end of your senior year, you go work somewhere. I volunteered there.
Incredible.
And they hired me.
A man after Joe Quazala's heart, if there ever was one.
Yeah. So then they hired me in that summer. I was in curatorial. I was all around. I went back during college breaks. I got very close to the staff there, and that got me the internship at Rolling Stone. And I've been there about 16 years.
Solidifying the Hall to Rolling Stone connection that we've always suspected and known about.
Which is very tight. It's a lot less tight now than it used to be, but they used to work there. So like Joel Parisman, who is the Hall of Fame president, he was in our office for all those years. So I saw the inner workings very, very up close. And the meeting each year, I mean, I can't even get started. There's so much to say, but yes, I'm very intimately involved with the whole
thing. I have a million questions, which is surprising to me.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
well, most of them are about like, what are the inner workings of the like staff of the museum like? Do you know what I mean? Like, what's the worst job at the place? What's the best job at the place? Did you ever get to touch something that no one else got to touch? Did you ever get to try on like somebody's like an Elton John cape?
Yeah.
You know, things like that.
I mean, at the museum itself, the worst job, I don't know. I think the folks that were in accounting, they seem pretty bummed out a lot of the time.
It doesn't seem fun.
Yeah, it was not very glamorous. The coolest job was definitely curatorial, where they get the artifacts and they set up all of the exhibits. I got to go back to the storage space. I held some Beatles guitars and some Grateful Dead guitars. It was pretty cool.
Oh, wow.
There was a private Cheap Trick concert there one night where it was basically, it was a bunch of people at a party that were just talking to each other and the show by Cheap Trick, that was just for me, basically. There was no one else that was even watching it.
What?
It was a weird night, but yeah.
That seems very disrespectful.
Yeah, it was. It was a small crowd, and they didn't seem to care. I couldn't believe it. I was seeing Cheap Trick from the first row. That was a long time ago. I mean, there's the museum and the Hall of Fame, and they're very separate. Most of my career has been much nearer to the Hall of Fame than to the museum. I haven't worked there in a long time.
Right. By being at the Rolling Stone office, you are also, you know, the annual nominating committee. It famously happens in.
Yeah. And my good friends serve on it. So that was a big day. So every year I'd sit out in my cubicle, and when the day came, they'd go filing past my desk. So there's Steve Van Zandt, there's Questlove, there's Tom Morello, there's Seymour Stein, there's John Landau, and they're all walking past to the boardroom, and my editors are in there too. So they'd walk past, and I would go, guys, do the Smiths this year. Please, the Smiths. I lobby that every time. And then during the breaks, they would walk out, and I would run up, and they'd show me, like, the tally. It was my favorite day of the whole year.
Oh, my God. Tally. Yeah. So you get to see
who
misses the ballot.
Up, like, as if you had, like, a physical manifestation of it. Like, they showed you the whiteboard?
Yeah. No, with it the tallies on a yellow legal pad. It was my – I had some friends, and they would take notes. So it was a very long day where they go around the room, and they'd each say two names. It would get whittled down. So I would see the long list and the smaller list. It was very exciting.
This Joe, if you could sneak one of those to him, I think you'd be making his day. That's like, it's like getting the set list for the NomCom, you know?
Yeah. Because not only do you see, because we see obviously the ballot that's public, but right. You are seeing both who is getting the most love in the room in like a ranked order, and then also a bunch of names that do not make the ballot too.
A ton of names that don't make it. And then I see the vote. Then the ballots start coming in and they're mailed to Rolling Stone.
Wow. So right.
It's possible, I don't want to say, it's possible for years I would see every ballot when it came in and I would see the numbers grow each day.
That's tense, I would imagine. Yeah. Because you've got your own picks and your own favorites, and then seeing like it's a horse race.
It's a horse race. So I would see people who were way at the bottom who'd always shock me. See people at the way top that would shock me. And they don't release those numbers. But it was really something just to see it come in.
Joe, I just feel like if you had known this was a job when you were a kid, I feel like you would have aimed a little differently. You know, I guess we're glad you're a comedian, blah, blah, blah. But like...
Yeah, would I have traded having a Comedy Central special to be near the nominating committee room?
Yeah,
potentially.
It's
exciting as you would think, and it's just once a year. And then I would help write the ballots. I would write band bios on the ballots a few years.
Biggest snub thus far has been the Smiths. That's like the one that you would most passionately.
There's a bunch. I mean,
yes,
that's
kind of pushing. The foundation of our show is that there's a bunch.
Yeah, I was pushing for The Cure for years. It finally happened. I keep saying Joy Division and New Order. They should be in as a single entity, and then the same way the Faces and the Small Faces.
Yes, they should.
It was discussed a lot.
Yeah, Kristen is laughing because I harp on this.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with this. And Devo and the Pixies and the Replacements and
I think
Sonic Youth.
We might be the same guy.
You guys are the same person.
We might be the same guy.
There was a divergence at some point, and just, you know, half of you went toward comedy and half of you went toward,
this is the multiverse theory if I've ever
These are real, these are exactly his top list. Like, exactly.
And things finally changed in recent years that 80s synth pop, particularly out of England, was so not happening, and it's finally happening. I've seen a big shift, and that's exciting.
The Cure finally broke down the door, and it seems like they're all falling into place, hopefully.
Yeah.
You might say, hopefully, the new wave will come crashing in.
Yeah,
perhaps.
Because they've changed the board a bit, and they've changed the voting list. I'm a voter, but I'm not on the board.
Right.
And I've seen the voting list grow as they've tried to be more inclusive and getting more young people. Because for a while, the problem was it was just the same old voters, and the inductees all vote. So
which is a problem.
They would bring in Lil Anthony and the Imperials, and it's like many in their 80s, and now they all vote. And they don't know shit about Morrissey. You know? You know, they want things they know.
Yeah, and I mean, we even saw
sat in on some of those conversations also.
Right, because, I mean, we've had Seymour Stein on the show a few times, and we're friendly and have had Bob Merlis and Andy Paley and guys who used to be on the nominating committee years ago. And, you know, they are no longer, I mean, Seymour's still on in some sense, although he hasn't gone in person the past few years. But, you know, some of those guys from the old guard, you know, they have their opinions and they are funny because
and they're often wrong. I mean, I interviewed Steve Van Zandt a few years ago, and he said it makes me physically sick that the Talking Heads are in, but Paul Revere and the Raiders aren't. He's like that's an insult, and I'm like, Steve, no.
That's grounds for removal from the nominating committee.
There's people like Steve who firmly believe the music that was out in their teenage years is the most important music ever. And everything after that just sucks.
Yeah. You know?
And they're stubborn, and they cling to this ridiculous notion that the 60s is this golden age, and everything was perfect in the 60s. And then
work at Rolling Stone. I'm so sorry.
I think some change there too. There's been changes that have been made all around. There's been huge changes. I mean, Jan Wenner is no longer the president, is no longer the chairman. So there's been very big changes. But as long as the nominating committee is full of Steve Van Zandt types, they have a very rigid view of what rock is. And
a very flexible view of what a single is.
Oh yeah, that whole single thing.
Of what should be in the singles category, because this has been a debacle. Ooh. Joe is very angry about it.
We were at the ceremony for 2019 when they it wasn't when they debuted the singles, but I would say the year where the singles category really went off the rails, and I screamed when they included the Isley Brothers.
It's just whatever Steve Van Zandt wants.
Yeah, to give him unilateral power over, something that they devote time to during the ceremony is very bizarre to me. And I think the fact that they keep him on the nominating committee at all should be enough to placate him. The idea of them giving him, airtime, and it's a real mess.
When John Landau is the chairman, then that kind of stuff can happen.
Yeah, it's almost like there's some sort of connection between the two of them. I don't know what that could be, though.
To bring the full E Street Band also, which I supported, but you can, and
then. Oh my gosh, E Street Band induction.
I have called him out on it personally. I interviewed David Sanchez a few weeks ago, and I was like, David, you talk for 7 minutes.
I mean, the reports were that it was even longer than that.
It was brutal. And we were waiting to see Nirvana.
Right.
We couldn't wait to see Nirvana, and the E Street Band talked for an hour.
Jesus
Christ. And it was torture. It was just, and I'm a Springsteen super fan, and I was still ready to just start murdering people.
Do you go to every induction ceremony that you can? Yeah.
I've been every year back to 06 or something.
Including the ones in Cleveland and the one that was out here?
Missed LA, actually. I go to all the Cleveland ones. I'm from Cleveland.
Yeah. Right, so that's easy.
Yeah, my family's there, so I just go home.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I missed the Rush one, which was a bummer. I wasn't in LA, but I've been to all of them back to 06.
So we could talk for hours about that, but I'm curious about, one, since you have some connection to Rolling Stone and the Hall, you're not sitting at the tables, are you?
They gave us the crappiest table way in the back. The single worst table. Exit almost.
But it's still a table.
It's still a table.
It's still a table, and there's they have dessert and stuff there. It's a huge meal.
So is there any type of VIP access for you?
Yeah, we get staff badges. Mm-hmm. So we have free roam over the entire place. But we divide it up.
This year, they're going to get special access to some breakout rooms.
Some Zoom rooms.
They're going to be in some VIP Zoom rooms, really just hobnobbing.
Yeah, so in the early years, I would go back and forth to backstage and watching the show, and I would do interviews with people in the press room. I'd run back, and it was too chaotic. So now we divide it up where my colleagues are backstage. I watch the show.
That's a good deal.
And I do the recap.
That's a very good deal. I would want to be out there watching the show too.
Yeah, I'm like, you are living Joe's dream life. You have all access, but you're not to blame.
You have no culpability.
Yeah, and my big thing each time is that before they announce it, I get the names and I do all the interviews I can. So on the day of the announcement, I have Q&As done with every willing person, which is tough some years, but.
Right. I mean, and it's, you could say, I don't know if this is fully true, but you are often the first people that they are talking to once they learn that they're nominated or inducted.
I often speak to them a few minutes later in some years. I've told some by accident.
Oh my God.
Wires crossed. Yeah.
Can you tell us who you've told?
Yeah, sure. I told Steve Hackett out of Genesis.
Genesis.
because they told me the band knew. I go, Joel, so the entire band knows. Then, and he goes, yeah, but he didn't think about Steve, so I call up Steve, and he had no freaking idea.
He wasn't on the group text.
No, and he was shocked.
Email.
Yeah.
What year was this?
It was 2010, so it would have
okay,
been.
Okay, so yeah. He was in the group email. Yeah. He was in the Google group or whatever.
Yeah, so that was Google funny. Wave. But often I'm the first person that they're really talking to about it.
I'm curious what sticks out to you from your memories of those conversations.
Just how they reverse themselves, how before they get inducted, they always say, I don't give a shit. This is not the fans. Who cares? Then they get in and it's like Rush or something. Then they go, oh my God, this is life changing. This is everything to me. You know, it's always complete reversal once they're in.
It's funny how consistent that is too. It's always when they're not in, like, this doesn't matter and who gives a shit.
Yeah.
And then as soon as they're in it, they're on their knees.
They even
their heads folded.
And with even Neil Peart, who you think would be the last person who would care. He was very emotional on the day of it. It was shocking.
Yeah. And I think that's, to me, that's like one of the reasons why the Rock Hall is worth anything, like worth, you know, because it does mean something to the artists, and it gives them, for especially for a band like Rush or say like a band like the Zombies that have not received those kinds of accolades before, it's a chance to kind of give them their roses.
Yeah, you know, I go back and forth on it. I often think that, but there's some years I'm there and I'm thinking to myself in a cynical moment, I'm like, this means nothing. This is just something that was thought up by two people to have a big party in a ballroom, and this doesn't mean anything.
My man.
So, but usually I am all on board, but sometimes I'm sort of feeling that this is just all meaningless. So I go back and forth.
Yeah, and going back to the induction performances, whether it's stuff that aired on television or something that happened behind the scenes, I'm curious if there's anything that sticks out to you from your years of going to the ceremonies.
God, there's been so many of them. It was more fun back at the Waldorf.
Right, it was a private event. A little more special.
It was a smaller thing. You were at tables by the people. I think the Stooges were just so great.
That's what came to mind to me as well, just because of the juxtaposition between their energy and the Waldorf vibe. And
I watched Eddie Vedder get so excited, and then they called fans on stage. He stormed on stage and was just so happy. It was a very fun night. And was that the same year as Genesis? It's all a blur in my head.
That was the same. That was 2010.
Yeah. Watching just how random it was to go from the Stooges to like Genesis and everything. It was looser back then. It wasn't quite as...
Well, I mean, I've heard a million stories of the All-Star Jam and everybody being just called up and grabbing whatever instrument is free and, you know, Paul Schaefer trying to wrangle everybody and it being like terrible but wonderful chaos.
Yeah, though I remember I was interviewing Jeff Beck a few years ago and I asked him about the famous one, which was in like 88 when it was everybody. It was Dylan and the Stones and the Beatles. And he was, I got on stage and they handed me a guitar and I've never heard a worse sound in my life than like 40 guitarists playing at once that didn't rehearse. He's like, it was the single worst thing I've ever heard.
You get that sense because there's video footage of it. And it's, you know, they do their best to like sweeten it, but there's some stuff because it's, you're looking at maybe legitimately 50 people on stage to the point where you can't even tell who's on there, even if you know everybody, because there's not enough angles to cover it.
Yeah, and when they put it out on DVD, they need everybody's permission. So the number of phone calls to get even like, to be checked to say yes, and all these random people up there, it was like months of work just to clear all that. I remember all that process.
Yeah, because I've tried to watch those and try to identify everybody, and it is difficult.
It's very tricky, yeah.
There's a DVD set.
Yeah, there's a Time Life set.
It's Time Life.
Oh, like a nighttime, like one of those like
infomercials.
All the years of the Rock Hall kind of.
Yeah. I must have sent you like a video on my phone.
I think you sent me a video of the ad for it.
Because it's funny. Because it's like Time Life. It's like the classic infomercial, like 9 DVD set for this for 3 payments of $29.99.
Yeah.
It's like that type of thing, but it's just induction moments.
They did a big garden show for day 25th back in 2009. Mm-hmm. And that was like the biggest Rock Hall night. That was 2 nights of just insanity where it was sort of peak Rock Hall.
Yeah. Kristen, you've seen that because they show that on a loop at the museum.
Oh, I have. Yes. So it was like Billy Joel was there and so was Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
I think I walked
together.
Yeah, when they were playing together when I walked into like the theater at the museum.
And Jan produced that, who's in the office. So I saw the two-year buildup, two of those concerts, that from trying to book Neil Young and all the stuff that he tried to do, that didn't happen.
Oh, man. Did you go?
I was there both nights. It was a very long weekend.
But that's one of the, I do think, one of the best things that the Rock Hall has produced. It really is like a feat, given how many people were involved and how they pulled it off.
Yeah, it was amazing. And at the last minute, they lost Clapton because he got sick. So they had to summon Jeff back for him.
And it was foreboding how he would fall off the list in 2020.
For the 500. We talked last week about the 500 albums list.
Inductee is only one album on the list now. Well. How the mighty have fallen. Should have showed up. Shouldn't have gotten sick. In 2009, they're holding on to the grudge.
Now, speaking of the 500 list, you wrote some of those entries, yeah?
I was really involved with that whole thing. Yeah.
Oh, man. We have like double questions. This is going to be a 3-hour interview. I can tell you that for sure. Wow.
How did you feel about the list as it came out? You also probably got, did you get to see the ballots for that too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
Beyonce vote?
I think she did, didn't she?
They said she did.
Okay. Yeah.
She's on the list of voters that they published.
I didn't love the idea of redoing it in the first place. I was there the first time, and I just figured, God, we'll do it again. We already did that.
Are you a 2012 list stan? You really like the 2012?
No, I'm AO3 list stan. Yeah.
Okay.
To go way back.
Controversial.
Yeah.
No better albums have come out since then. 2003.
Well, I know. I get the need to redo it. It was just a pain. It's so much work.
Mm-hmm.
I love Marvin Gaye. I don't think it's the best album of all time. I think that the album is very high peaks, but there's also filler too. I thought that was a weird choice.
Mm-hmm. It's a strange, I was truly surprised, and it took me a long time to guess it. We just did an episode about this. I truly come in with very little knowledge. I've retained a lot over the years, but I try not to. and against my will, I have absorbed a lot of knowledge about the list. And yeah, I was very shocked that that was number one. Do you think that, I mean, we were postulating that it was like a timely pick.
It's of the moment.
Yeah. Like a 2020 pick. Moment.
I think people were thinking about the politics of right now, and it fits. And the best songs are some of the best songs I've ever heard. You know, that Mercy, Mercy Me and the title track are brilliant. Yeah. I love Marvin Gaye. Just the best album of all time. I think that's a bit of a stretch.
What was your number one pick on your ballot?
I was voting strategically.
Okay.
So, oh, God, you really are, Joe. This is like fucking
Yeah, I would do the
wild.
Same thing too. Because if you want an album to get on the list, you have to rate it highly.
Yeah.
And you also have to keep out the albums that you think would be competing with it.
So I did the first Devo record as my favorite album of all time.
Nice.
I love that record.
When the scoring was done, was it like ranked choice voting then? So like who you put as your number one got the most points?
You know, I truly don't know how they weighted it.
I think
we haven't really been at the office. I think it was weighted to some. Yeah, I think that a number one, that carried more weight than like a number 50 or something.
I would imagine it would be 50 points for your number one choice and then descending down to number 50, which gets 1 point.
Everyone submitted 50. They did not submit 500. Good.
Correct.
No, it was just 50.
So wild.
In the, maybe
if
you
everyone
can,
submitted 500
songs, albums, yeah.
I'm just trying to imagine if I could even do it. Like,
yeah, it was really hard.
Andy, did they, I don't know if you know, but was that the same process for 03? Did they have to submit 50 or was it 100? Because I'm hearing competing things.
It was looser back then. And back then it was more analog. It was like actual paper ballots that we mailed out and everything from what I remember when I was an intern. I truly forget. It may have been 100 back then. I just don't remember.
I'm going to get back to the Rock Hall with some probably overly specific questions that may not have any idea. But, you know, I'll ask anybody who I think might know. What the fuck happened with Dire Straits? Do you have any idea?
Good question.
From my understanding, it was a David Knopfler problem at first that those two guys just hate each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't been the band for a long time. Mark has never wanted to do any sort of a reunion.
Mm-hmm.
He views the band as sort of like a Nine Inch Nails band, that it's a band in name only, but it's him.
Interesting.
The thought of honoring people that he hasn't talked to in years, I think that pissed him off. The fact that they toured Europe as Straits recently really pissed him off.
Oh, without Dyer? They just called themselves Straits?
Yeah, I think, yeah, it was called Straits. You know, because without him, it's a joke, obviously, but they try, at least a few of them.
That's odd.
To John Ilse, to the bass player John, but the rest of them, I think he doesn't like. I think there's been fights that's been over publishing. And I think his night of hell is flying to Cleveland and playing Sultans of Swing with his estranged brother and people that he's been suing for. You know, it's just, it was not going to happen.
Well, why didn't anyone induct them? That was also bizarre. That's maybe the more bizarre thing. Like, because I get, you know, because artists don't show up with some frequency.
Sure.
Idea of not having anyone give a speech was really the...
I'm trying to remember. I think the idea was to, because they weren't going to perform. Mm-hmm. And I think they wanted the night to go faster. So it was just do the montage, the quick speeches, bye.
But they didn't try to get there. You don't know if there was like them attempting to find someone.
I don't think they even tried. I think they were so frustrated with the Mark thing. I think that with every year that goes by, there's always talks of how can we make this thing go faster?
Yeah.
Good. I think it's a good idea to have those conversations. Yeah. I think those are really good ones.
There's always been the plan of if it's a band of six people, then just one person talks, you know, but that really insults like the bass player. It's the biggest moment of his life.
Yeah.
And to be told he can't talk really piss him off. So there's always attempts to do that. I think the decision was just, they aren't coming. We have so much other big stuff happening. We want Dire Straits to be as fast as possible.
Yeah.
And then the last minute they are like, you know what, John, how about you do it? You know, it was just, I think it was just chaos.
Yeah. That is, I'm going to go ahead and say that it's rude.
Yes.
That's
it. Also, it just makes me be like, then don't put him in. You know what I mean? Like,
well, if that's how you're going to treat it, if this truly is an honor, you know, it's just a weird thing. Also, something they have never done before. I mean, you know, and the next year, Radiohead more or less didn't show up. Fewer members than Dire Straits. And
I did a big story about Radiohead about 3 years ago. So I asked all five guys about going to the Hall of Fame.
You're the person that got them on the record.
I got all five of them. So I'm at a restaurant. I'm with Tom York. I was nervous because he's, you know, scary. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, you know, Tom, so the band's eligible for the Hall of Fame in a year. And he's like, oh. I'm like, well, he just don't ask me about that. You know, he was just disgusted by the thought of it.
Yeah.
Whereas I asked Colin, the bass player, and he was like, it sounds like fun. And he didn't show up.
Right, I know. He was the one I was expecting because you had him on the record as saying that he thought it sounded cool.
Yeah, I think that Ed and Phil are sort of are the most willing to go out and do stuff. I just think Tom, I think if you're Tom, you view yourself as an active, current, fresh artist and being part of like some organization that honors that, you know, but the zombies and the Hollies, like to him, it's just sort of a sign of death. He wanted no part of it.
I just can't think of anything that like is less Radiohead than being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. it's like, what? It doesn't sound very Radiohead to me. It doesn't mean that I wouldn't have liked to see them perform because I sat through the whole thing. I mean, to me, it makes sense. Although Joe's biggest moment is that speech where...
Well, Ed and Phil like turned a corner on it, or at least especially Ed did. He seemed to realize or have some sort of a epiphany about what the whole thing was.
Yeah, it's a story you often hear that these British people often, they don't watch it on TV. They didn't grow up with it, so they don't really get it. That mm-hmm. is not until they're actually there, they kind of get the spirit of it.
Right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, but I just want to tease what we're going to be talking about. Kristen, I know what we've been talking about is not what we're going to be talking about. That's all just context for Andy and his connection. But there is Rock Hall news for this induction ceremony. They have released the list of guests, of people
really
involved. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about those people and what they potentially might be doing. We don't have that information. So we will be right back in just a second. Welcome back, everybody. We hope you had a nice break. We hope over your break, Kristen, you.
That I hope that you really had a long think about what constitutes the difference between a band and a side project.
Sure. That sounds great. All right. So there is huge Rock Hall news. We are actually recording this later in the week than we normally do, because this episode is going to drop within hours. I'm going to edit it immediately after we're done recording. So they have announced who is going to be involved in the induction ceremony this year. And I say involved because usually I'd say who's going to be there. But obviously people can do it from their homes or wherever. We don't really know how this thing is going to, what it's going to look like.
Is this a comprehensive list, or is this kind of a Coachella and more kind of?
I guess we don't know. I mean, there's always, the Rock Hall likes to have surprises, but this seems to me pretty comprehensive. There's a long list of names.
I think the last two words of the long list are and more.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So there could be some surprises. I like that as an option.
On the infographic, it says and more, but in the press release, there were some names that weren't on the poster. So I don't know if that's what that means. Yeah. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to work our way down the list. Now, Kristen has no idea who is on the list. Andy does, because he wrote the article where I got the information. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start with the most obvious, like, not surprises, and then work our way down to some of the weirder names and the ones that we maybe don't have any idea of who they could be connected to. Because it's not saying who's inducting who or who's going to be, and we also don't know how they're going to do the induction process.
Some tribute performances, ideally.
Right. So why don't we start?
A lot of dead folks on.
Would you want to quickly start off, Kristen? Can you remember who's being inducted this year?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I remembered one right when we started the episode. So obviously it's Whitney Houston, B.I.G., T-Rex, who I remembered. Oh God, who's the old band? The Doobie Brothers?
Yes.
Then there's one more.
No, there's
two more. There's two more. It's Depeche Mode.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's one more.
Yes.
It's not a woman.
No, is of course not a woman. It's not a woman.
I know it's not. It's what?
A descendant of Depeche Mode on some level, I would say.
Oh, Nine Inch Nails. That's right.
There you go. Yeah. And then this is always a hard one. Do you know the two non-performer inductees?
They are managers. Mm-hmm. They are white guys. They are
buried with the Hall of Fame itself.
Yes. Yeah. I know. Truly.
One runs the nominating committee. The other one's on the board.
Is it John Landau? Is one of them John Landau?
John Landau's one.
And George Martin has already gotten in, right?
He was not a manager. He was the producer for the Beatles.
But he got in, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He's been inducted. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Somebody else has one of those names then.
His name is Irving Azoff.
It's like not Ahmet Erdogan. It is Irving Azoff.
So let's go through this list. So we've got Bruce Springsteen. And that should be, I'm going to have you try to guess, Kristen.
Oh, okay. Bruce Springsteen, obviously Whitney. Who's he going for? Let me try and remember who's in here again. Is he T-Rex?
No. So remember who this is supposed to be super easy. Remember who the non-performer?
Oh, he's doing John Landau.
John Landau's his manager for sure.
I forgot about the stupid non-performers.
He will say something. We don't
know. It's so dumb. It's very, very stupid. Like, they can give themselves a little award if they want to, but like, we don't need two more white guys in the hall, and I don't care. Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, they can literally do whatever they want. It's fine. A little award for Bruce Springsteen and company again from essentially Rolling Stone and the Rock Hall. Congratulations. As a treat on top of a, platter of cakes on top of just a bevy of desserts that they've already gotten.
And then I'm kind of connecting this also with Don Henley is going to be present. So
is he for the other guy, Irving Azoff?
Okay. Irving Azoff is the manager for the Eagles.
Henley, straight up looking like my stepdad.
So those two, I think anyone could have predicted, they're the obvious choices for those two guys. Also, another obvious choice, Sean Combs, Diddy himself. I think everybody knew.
He's going to do B.I.G., obviously. And I bet he'll be a big part of some sort of tribute, yeah.
at the very least,
like
I would
Evans
say.
Like Faith Evans on the list and Kim, like who's on the list?
They're not. So we'll work our way down, but those two are not on the list. But I would imagine he is at least giving a speech.
Yeah. He's going to cry.
Yeah, probably.
Were you the one that told me or that have we talked about how like electricity acts up around, did we learn that on this show about how electricity acts up around Diddy?
That doesn't sound there's familiar
like
a, to me.
There's like, I know Andy, someone does that who's sound been familiar in to his you? Presence. Does this sound familiar to you, Andy?
No.
Okay, well, we can cut this, but I have definitely heard that there's electricity is always acting up around Diddy and that clocks often malfunction in his presence. Well, I thought this was something that one of our guests had told us. And honestly, don't put me on record. I don't want someone coming after me.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that then there's not an in-person induction, because I would hate to. I mean, there's a lot of electric equipment with Depeche Mode and Nine Inch Nails, so that would really, that wouldn't be
very
good.
I'm also just like, I'm glad that the ceremony is gonna, it's not gonna be live, right?
No.
Okay, because you know his Zoom could go all haywire, like.
Yeah, right. We got to be careful.
It's a technical feat. Okay, so yeah, he's gonna do B.I.G. obviously.
All right, next up, we have Jennifer Hudson. That should be pretty easy.
Yeah, she's going to do Whitney.
And
Jennifer
we had talked.
I mean, we've talked about her before, but I want, like, she'll probably do the induction then, but I'm like, you know, I want a trio of singers. I want them to do it like Emmylou Harris style, but with soul.
Well, we've talked about, Garrett Kennedy, who's, you know, the kind of the Whitney Houston expert, kind of told us that this is going to be Clive Davis's decision, and he has kind of anointed Jennifer Hudson as the person to be the heir apparent and to do that. So,
Andy, idea. Confirm or deny, Clive Davis.
I think that makes sense, but I think it's going to be very different this year where there's more than one person that's doing everybody.
Yeah, both the speeches and the performances. Because we've got a lot of names here.
Oh, yeah. I think she'll also perform, though, as part of a probably big.
Because, I mean, yeah. I think it's likely that some of these people on the list, and maybe not, but it's possible that they're only, like, talking for 30 seconds as part of a montage.
Yeah, I think it's my understanding from talking to people, there's going to be sort of mini documentaries with new interviews that are a big mm-hmm. part of this.
I like that.
I like it too. And also they'll be able to edit it. So it's like, yeah, someone can talk for an hour and they'll just get them being like, Whitney. It'll be like 10 people saying the name in a row. And then we'll get like a snippet about each part of the, you know, mm-hmm. What a voice. What a, you know, like all in a row. I can see where it's headed. I think it's an improvement in some ways.
Yeah.
It'll definitely be different. There's that.
Yeah, and I've been talking to them, and they said their big goal is not to make this feel the same way that all these other Zoom award ceremonies, how like they have felt, that they want the vibe mm-hmm. to be a bit different than these telethons and stuff that we've seen in the past few months.
Yeah.
Notoriously innovative Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm dubious,
okay,
but I'm hopeful.
The next few names are obvious to me, but I don't know if they'd be obvious to you, Kristen. We've got Ringo Starr on the list.
And he's going to do...
So we've brought this up before because he directed a concert film for T-Rex. Yeah, and he seems like an obvious choice. I'm positing that he's potentially someone that they were not able to get for the live thing, but now
some
that
IRL, yeah.
Now that they can get him, they can, and that seems to me like a pretty obvious choice.
Yeah. A good move too, because that's, I mean, anytime you can get a Beatle, just you're really hitting your target audience, and people are going to be very excited.
Yeah, no, it's built-in marketing for sure. All these are, but Ringo in particular. The next two, I have a feeling I know what they're going to do, and it's Luke Bryan and Brad Paisley. They're not credited together, but I'm lumping them together based on.
Are they going to do Doobies?
I think that's got to be it.
Yeah, I think that the country world is very willing to embrace the Doobies in a way that the world of rock, that it quite hasn't since the 70s.
Right. And also, I mean, they did, not long ago, the Doobie Brothers did a country album, or they did like an album of their songs with new country artists.
Right. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Next up, we have Miley Cyrus. Now, there's a connection here that I'm thinking of that maybe won't occur to you immediately, but she is in that Black Mirror episode. And I don't know if you saw it, but she plays a pop star, and she's singing a, and they present it, she's singing a pop version of Head Like a Hole.
I was just going to say, is it Nine Inch Nails? That was going to be my like wild card guess.
Yeah.
You think, I mean, obviously, I think that's more likely than her being brought on for something involving Whitney.
That's an outside possibility.
The Whitney thing, that would be a bummer. I mean, it just isn't right. She's not like a singer like Whitney is.
No.
She's just not.
It occurs to me, it's possible that some of these people are going to talk about two different things. That maybe Miley will talk about Depeche Mode and about Nine Inch Nails. I mean, that seems possible.
Do you think, is she involved in any way with Depeche Mode?
I imagine she's a fan. It feels up her alley.
The Black Mirror episode is fine, but what they do with Head Like a Hole is very funny. Because she starts off as like a glitzy pop star. It's almost like a parody version of Head Like a Hole. And like it has lyrics like achieving my goals and stuff like that. The kind of arc of the episode is she's so micromanaged and by her people, and then she abandons all that and then becomes a true artist and then sings Head Like a Hole, the Nine Inch Nails version. But in that world, she created it.
They might have needed to list her just to use that clip.
Right.
Like, that's funny. They do like to do that too. They, what was it where they used some like insane TV clips from like a parody of about a band show.
Oh, God.
Do you remember what I'm talking about?
I don't know
about?
Exactly what you're talking about.
It was like they were like, and they were a McDonald's Happy Meal toy or whatever.
Oh,
like
Kiss.
It was like Kiss.
It's definitely Kiss, because that's what Kiss is, the McDonald's Happy Meal toy band of of rock. The next name might not be obvious to other people, but I'm pretty sure I know who it is based on something that someone told us on our show, which is Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top.
T-Rex.
So, as you may remember, Billy Gibbons, he is repped, his PR is done by Bob Merlis, who has been on our show multiple times.
Oh, yes.
They're very close friends.
And his son has also been on our show.
Yeah.
We're part of the Merlis gang over here.
This came up when we were talking to both Bob and Seymour Stein, because Depeche Mode came up because their distribution, at least in America, was Sire Records. And so Seymour likes Depeche Mode. And Bob went, hey, if Depeche Mode gets in, and this was years ago, he went, if Depeche Mode gets in, you should reach out to Billy Gibbons because he has a thing about them. He really likes them.
He did say that on our show.
You remember that?
Yes.
And I was shocked. I had no idea.
I straight up didn't know who Billy Gibbons was. And so that probably has a lot to do with why I forgot about it. If he had said the guy with the beard, or if he had
said, doesn't narrow it down.
You should reach out to Z from ZZ Top, you know, like then I'd be like, cool. Yeah. That guy. Definitely.
Andy, I don't know if you had heard anything like that before.
No, that's news to me.
Yeah.
Wow. See, now it's a real exchange of ideas over here. A salon.
Next up, we have Billy Idol. This wasn't obvious to me, but I did a little digging and I found pictures of a young Billy Idol with Mark Bolan. And then I found out that Billy Idol has covered Bang a Gong. Well, you're slim and you're weak. You got the teeth of the Hydra on you. Dirty, sweet, and you're my girl. Get it on. Bang a Gong. Get it on. And you definitely think of like a punk from that era in the UK is going to have a lot of love for T-Rex.
Right. I'm sure in his teenage years, he was a huge fan. That would only make sense.
Okay. So next up, we've got someone who literally could do anything. And he comes up every time we talk about potential inductors, and it's Dave Grohl.
Dave Grohl, always. You got to keep him on board in case somebody doesn't have any friends. And then Dave Grohl's going to come through and he's going to give the speech. And the hall is going to be like, when are you eligible, guy? Let's get those Foo Fighters in there.
Did they specify in the press release, Andy? Because I thought I had read what he's actually going to do.
In the press release, it says Dave Grohl will give opening remarks at the start of the show and sort of be the host in some way.
Be the host. We couldn't be more perfect. It couldn't make more sense that Dave Grohl is essentially going to host Rock Hall induction.
Which they've been talking about for years. There's been talk behind the scenes, about a host of the whole show for years and years and years now.
Yeah. I think I'm happy that they do not do that though.
Right.
It just seems like more shit to try and manage.
Oh my God. And please don't people are going to start writing material. Joe, have you tried to get a job on this?
If they get a host, you know, I'm going to try, but
oh my God,
I have not had a host, but you know that I know enough people that I could probably slide a packet someone's way.
Like literally, oh my God, if you start writing freaking jokes for the hall, I will, I can't.
I'll start glowing and I'll ascend into heaven.
I know exactly. It'll be too much.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Let's go to the next name, which is Alicia Keys.
She's going in the Whitney pile.
Now.
Yeah. Or she's here for the Doobie Brothers. Either.
I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility that she's involved in the Biggie, because she was.
Oh, New York. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Also, she did the Tupac tribute.
Yes. So exactly. Yeah.
We've seen her interpret hip hop before. One or the other seems very likely.
I feel like there's not going to all be together. I keep forgetting that. I like when I imagine the tributes and stuff, I always imagine the like pile on or the like, then the spotlight comes up on the other side and she's at the piano, like
kind of thing.
And that's, it's more like her window, there's a star wipe and then we see her or something, I guess. Sorry, you were saying something, Andy.
I was just going to say, it's a bummer about the Biggie stuff, because the hope was to do it in Brooklyn and have everybody there and do a huge tribute to Biggie at the Barclays Center. So first was Cleveland, which was sort of a bummer because that's so un-Biggie, and then it's virtual now, which is sort of, it's just a shame. Yeah.
It's just very hard because so much of rap is having a crew and hyping and like having hype people and stuff. I'm like, how is this? Maybe everyone will pod up. Maybe there'll be just like a crew will pod up and really, deliver something awesome for us.
Yeah, it was too bad back when there was going to be a ceremony in Cleveland to think about Biggie not being in Brooklyn, being inducted in Cleveland. But then there was a silver lining of like, well, at least Jay-Z will be next year and that will be in Brooklyn. But they've already decided, because we pushed back the Cleveland one, that one's going to be in Cleveland too.
No, really?
Yeah, and they're changing the calendar. It's going to be November from now on.
Right. And we're still...
Suspicion's confirmed.
Well, no, I mean, the ceremony is going to be in November, but we're still unsure if when the nominating committee is going to convene, because typically they would do it at the end of the year for the 25-year eligibility period.
Be early next year.
Yeah. And so really it's almost like officially, depending on how they want to play it, it's officially 26 years of eligibility.
Yeah, though I think they're going to play it like it's 25. I think the thought was that they were sick of following the Oscars and the Emmys and the Grammys and being last on the tributes. Mm-hmm. So if they go in November, they can beat everybody.
Get a jump on it.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of, I don't want to say like deflate, but there is just like a little bit of Grammy envy, like Grammy competition in a way, with kind of like, oh, they already did I have really gone off about the lack of an Aretha Franklin tribute. And I am still angry about it to this day. But, we've had people on the show who've been like, the Grammys did such a great one. Like, how are we going to compete? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't know. Try. I have many ideas.
Yeah, but, at least give it a fucking shot. It's
like,
Aretha, right?
I have a lot of ideas. And I am very, very, I will just never, ever, ever get over the fact that Chris Cornell, who is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, got his own tribute that was a dirge and was horrible. And Aretha Franklin, the first woman inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they just used her version of what Amazing Grace over the RIP section. Like, there is
stinky.
No justice.
We hate
for
it.
Her.
It's bad.
There is no justice. I'm very mad. So, but this would maybe not have happened if they had gotten to go first. So maybe it'll help them in the future. I'm still now I'm mad again.
All right, let's keep moving. Now we're going into some artists where it's not, it's maybe not as clear. Saint Vincent,
I think she's gonna do something with Nine Inch Nails, because guitar to me, it feels like she feels so great.
So here's the evidence I've tried to pull and try to put those strings on the corkboard and figure this out. Obviously, she's a relatively like glam kind of artist. So T-Rex,
she could do T-Rex,
could make sense. Now, she covered the Nine Inch Nails song "Heresy" at Coachella in 2018. we have evidence that she likes that group. But also,
this is a very much a little murder board over here.
Oh my God. But she also at Coachella in 2018 with the group Bleachers, she covered "Just Can't Get Enough" by Depeche Mode. Hmm. So there's a lot of possibilities. What do you think, Andy?
Yeah, I would think more Nine Inch Nails, but I can easily see Depeche Mode. That's confusing. Then there's also death tributes too that these people could be a part of also at some point.
Oh, that's true.
Who died?
I guess we haven't Little Richard. We've got to imagine there would be some sort of,
maybe that's Alicia Keys coming in for Little Richard.
That's possible.
It's possible. And
now
with
Van Halen dead, Oh my gosh.
I mean,
oh,
I don't.
There's a scramble.
Yeah,
they better.
I was going to say, do you think that they've even been able to lock that down? Because that, you know, happened days ago, and then this was just announced.
Well, I think the big problem they're going to have with all of this is doing performances when people are in different locations. I mean, that's bands are living apart, and I think doing a big tribute to Van Halen will be a lot trickier than it would have been normally.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much this whole night is going to even be about performing songs and how much will just be like documentaries and little speeches. That's the big question, I think.
Yeah. Oh,
you are breaking Joe's heart right now, though.
I mean, I knew that, but I don't know. There's got
to
be some performance element, though.
Just to hear it from someone close to the source, doesn't it hurt a little
more? Well, I mean, I've heard some rumblings that maybe the Doobies are not going to play, that it's too tricky.
Oh, boy, I hate to see that. That'd be sad. They didn't get to do it.
I mean, they were probably the most excited of anybody, you know.
They got so screwed this year because this was their big 50th anniversary year. They got Michael McDonald back for a big tour. They got the Hall of Fame finally. They had this Vegas residency. They had it was going to be a huge Doobie year, and now it's just this. So the poor Doobies.
Yeah, Doobies got screwed.
Yeah.
I do, you know, and here's the thing. I don't hate the Doobie Brothers, but
no,
I'm
they're
just
great.
Like, Hall of Fame is like, okay. And also, it's just like the most Hall thing to do is put the Doobie Brothers in. And I wouldn't have been mad. Like, Michael McDonald, I would have enjoyed. I would have had fun watching him perform. I would have enjoyed some sort of like fun harmonizing on Black Water. Like, you can't do that over Zoom, I think.
Too much of a lag.
maybe they do it like those high school a cappella groups all do, where, you know, like everyone's got a single AirPod in and they get the track from the next person, from the next person, from the next person.
Yeah. I've been told that they don't want that, that they think that looks bad. And
they are right.
They're right.
Better. Yeah.
They are correct in that. And honestly, we're 6 months into this pandemic, honey. Like, we should have learned. Like, we're past Brady Bunch screens.
Yeah.
Like,
no
being
doubt.
Okay.
Let's go on to the next name. Which is Chris Martin from Coldplay.
Okay, piano. Let's
so what I'm thinking, again, did a little research, was I found out that there's an alternate music video for Viva La Vida directed by...
I'm sorry, you have to stop.
No. You're going to let me barrel through this because I'm going deep. So it was directed by Anton Corbin, who famously directed all the Depeche Mode music videos.
Yeah.
And that video in particular pays tribute to the Enjoy the Silence video. And he's all dressed up like Dave Gahan. And he said about it, this is our attempt at a video cover version made out of love for Depeche Mode and the genius of Anton Corbin. So he's on the record as liking Depeche Mode. That's my guess.
That's a good guess.
I'm sure that's it.
I mean, but also... it wouldn't shock me if he was a big T-Rex fan. You know, he's from the UK. They're gods over
there. Well, we're very light so far on like obvious Depeche Mode connections. And so to me, I'm like...
Billy Gibbons.
Billy Gibbons, yeah. Billy.
Yeah, and maybe St. Vincent. All right, next up is one that I think I can track, which is Iggy Pop.
T-Rex.
I would think it would be T-Rex because, you know, he ran around with Bowie a lot. And so those circles have to be pretty tight. I was able to find him talking on what seemed like his own radio show, just kind of speaking highly of Mark Bolan and their influence on like the Stooges in his work.
That one seems pretty one-to-one. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, I could see Iggy Pop being like into Trent Reznor. Like that.
I could see him being into Nine Inch Nails. That would be my other one that I would have thought.
Would not shock me.
strong shirtless energy between the two of them, Iggy Pop and Trent Reznor on see again, I'm like imagining them on stage together again. Is this
also
this, I've had to reframe.
Trent Reznor is another guy who ran around with Bowie quite a bit. So
but like in different eras.
I think very much later.
I think he's not too like up to date with like the 90s crowd. Mid-80s is his cutoff.
Even though
period.
He had such a resurgence in the 90s. That's how I knew him.
I think he's old school.
Yeah, I think you might be right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So of course he'll be talking about the Doobie Brothers. Next, so now we're getting into some names.
When is the Trainspotting soundtrack going to get inducted? That's what I want to know, you know?
Okay, so next we have some names where I'm starting to lose the thread a little bit.
How could it be?
Gwen Stefani. The only thing that I could find was that the last No Doubt album, Push and Shove, what she had said was like kind of a tribute to bands like Depeche Mode.
Depeche Mode. It's the only answer is Depeche Mode. Like if you think of any kind of like later No Doubt and her solo stuff, the only band that you could even remotely draw an influence from all of these out of is Depeche Mode. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Without a doubt. No doubt. Some might say. Yeah.
Hmm? Say what?
Yeah. No doubt. It's definitely Depeche Mode.
That's a sense I get. Next up, we have Adam Levine. From Maroon 5.
Why do we have him?
And
why? I don't want it. I'm going to say I don't want that. I don't even want to entertain what the hell he's there for. Like, I don't know.
So here's a thought. My first thought was like, I don't know, fucking Doobie Brothers. And then I tried to look up some connections and I noticed that in this sucks, and I hope this isn't it, but Maroon 5 has done a cover of Closer by Nine Inch Nails.
Help me get away from myself. I wanna fuck you like an animal. I wanna feel you from the inside. I wanna fuck you like an animal.
God, I hope that's not. Here's what I think it might be, though. I believe Irving Azoff reps Maroon 5.
Oh, okay. Then.
Oh, maybe they could talk about him.
I think
they can do a nice little tribute to their nice little manager, and he gets some time on screen for some reason. So whatever.
That's the only, that maybe is the best connection I can think of.
And also that's a best case scenario.
Yeah. Instead of him singing Closer by Nine Inch Nails, would be a very Hall move though.
God.
I don't think that's happening, especially because you don't need to do a tribute performance for Nine Inch Nails because Trent Reznor can do that in his basement by himself. You know what I mean? Right. Like, he's still alive. If you want a performance, you can get Trent.
Yeah, and I'm sure his band, I'm sure that they even live by him. You know, I'm sure that they're all in LA.
I bet they're a pod. I bet his girl. Also, I bet that they could make a very cool, they could film something very cool in his house or in his studio. Like, I don't know. It feels very appropriate for Nine Inch Nails vibe to do some sort of like dark recording in his studio garage. It feels.
Yeah, I think so too. I could see that. Okay. The next name, I just don't know what she's going to do. And it's Nancy Wilson from Heart.
It's T-Rex.
Could be T-Rex. Could be Doobie Brothers, but there's no obvious connection that I can think of.
She never covered anything. She didn't have a music video directed by someone in common. Is she managed by one of these guys?
I don't think so.
I think Azoff manages her.
I don't think Landau really manages anybody else besides Bruce.
Maybe they need to do another Chris Cornell tribute.
Well, that was Anne.
That was Anne. Okay. Oh, Nancy. So it's the guitarist one. So it could be like a Nine Inch Nails thing.
What?
Just like with, I'm thinking of like her type of, like the Barracuda type guitar.
But for what reason and for why?
Just like for the heaviness. I don't know. Maybe they're friends.
Yeah. I'm not sure of the connection. I mean, they're from.
T-Rex is the closest I could
see. They're from Seattle
and I don't, yeah.
I would think the Doobies.
Yeah.
Because they're both part of the 70s scene.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I guess because I always think of Heart because being from the 80s, because that's when I know them from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yes, yeah, that makes sense.
It's not obvious. That seems, I mean, maybe she's okay. Just buddies with John Landau, or, you know, there's...
I don't think there's a connection there.
Yeah, I didn't think so either, but, you know, people are, you know, Sandra Bullock's friends with George Lopez. Who knew that was going
to
happen?
Because she was married to Cameron Crowe for, like, 20 years, and that brought her into that whole world of...
People. Yeah, that's an interesting point.
And when is the Almost Famous soundtrack going to get inducted?
Be like, yeah. 5 more years. Yeah,
we're almost there. Like, yeah. I think almost every band on that soundtrack is in. Is Yes in?
Yes, and yes. That took way yes, too yes. long. And that was an awesome night, but yeah.
All right, so the last two names, I think I can make the connection of what they're going to be doing, but they are bizarre names to be on the list because they're not musicians. The first one is Charlize Theron. Weird, but I you know, I did some digging, as I have to. Yeah. And she made them put a Depeche Mode song into the movie Atomic Blonde.
How okay. did you find that out?
I was searching every one of these names and then the inductee names and seeing what came up.
Yeah, and I guess she's the age that when she was a teenager that they were kind of peaking.
Yeah, and I don't know if there was any significance to her being in South Africa.
Were they very popular in South Africa? Yeah, that's...
I mean, they're a huge worldwide.
They're big everywhere, yeah. They're
yeah, huge. So potentially. But that's my best guess. And the last name, to me, is the like biggest eye roll name, and I'm very nervous about who I think this is for. And the last name is Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, no, 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 no. This is very, very bad. It'll be fine. Maybe he'll just talk. They want him to talk and everything.
Yeah, maybe he'll just.
I swear like, to Christ.
If he raps a Biggie song.
I will kill someone. That I.
If he. Fucking lays down some bars.
It's gotta be Biggie. It's gotta be Biggie.
It has to be, right?
There is no one else.
And I hope he's just talking.
He's definitely just talking. He's just
Kristen, we don't know that.
He is gonna be talking. I hate that. Oh, I hate it. I mean, it's offensive. Like, I'm angry.
Oh, yeah. It's, and I left it for last for a reason.
Mad. And they, oh my God. Oh, that's very bad. I don't like it. I am disappointed. I am not surprised.
Yeah, there you go. And more, I guess. There potentially could be others involved.
I would guess that Van Halen is going to cause them to really start making calls frantically now because they have a month, but...
And there's a million, you know, guitar players who you could choose from. Where I don't even know where to begin. I mean, both in-house with the Hall, like I got to imagine Tom Morello is somebody who...
Oh, yeah.
But that's a thing. You could make something. I mean, you'd have to do it pretty quickly, but you could make something, not unlike they did for Ringo with the people at the drum set, you know, people with a guitar kind of talking about like how he changed things. That's just my pitch off the top of my head.
I would think so.
I would love to see it. And I would also love for Joe to get credit for the idea someday.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
Yeah, and we wouldn't really talk about I do think there will be something for Little Richard, but because it is a different type of ceremony, you know, a tribute performance and performances in general, we don't really know how that's going to work. So,
but there'll be a death montage still, right?
Oh, you know, I mean, that's a layup.
Yeah, so they might play one of his. So I guess his songs be sort of incongruous with a death montage.
Yeah, if there was like Tutti Frutti. A slowed down Tutti Frutti. Just a real...
Good golly, Miss Molly. but that's exciting, though. We have a full list of a lot of names, maybe more than we're used to. And there's a lot to speculate on, and... It'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. And it might be playing out right now because they might be filming this stuff, you know, a month in advance. I think they definitely are.
Yeah.
How long do they have blocked out for the ceremony to be? And it's all going to be pre-recorded and then they're just going to release it? Or is there going to be anything live?
I think it's all pre-recorded.
I'm not positive, that's my sense of it.
And I think that solves some problems that they've had over the years, because no matter how much they plan, it's always long.
Totally. Because they were planning on doing, as you might recall, they were planning on doing the live ceremony, live broadcast, keeping it short somehow. And that's
a truly
insane.
Unhinged idea, an absolutely terrible idea.
Yeah, but I was excited to see like how that was going to happen and what that was going to look like, and maybe they'll try to do it the next year.
Chaos. Absolutely a terrible idea. A lot of disappointed people with their mics cut off, a lot of horrible tech issues. I really didn't like that. I do think though, having it all pre-recorded feels a little stale. Like it makes you wonder why you should watch it.
You lose some spontaneity that comes with the induction ceremonies and the energy of a live performance, but
and it's the first year of the post-Jan era. There's new producer of the show. It's sort of a real chance to really start making stuff like some big changes.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm betting there's no singles category this year. That's my guess. Although we had been told that it was probably going to happen back when we were talking to...
But they didn't broadcast it last year, right?
I know.
It was at the ceremony. So yeah. It's sort of being phased out, it feels like. It just didn't work.
Ugh. Yeah, it had one. Well, it's not a bad idea.
Right. The execution is just.
There are so, like, the first year made sense. And I thought it was going to be a good thing.
Yeah, it was. It was very much
a little like Little Steven's Desert Island Jukebox or whatever. Like,
yeah, it's fucked up. But, we've got a little less than a month, I think, till the ceremony comes out. And so,
oh my God. Yeah. It's October. Truly.
It's coming out
soon.
I
was like, not joking. I was like, well, on the ceremony's not until forever. Time has no meaning anymore. It has ceased to exist.
Yeah. So I think that's just going to do it. Andy, I'm so glad we finally got to talk to you. You know, we usually do these in person, but now that we do it over Zoom, it was like, oh, we can actually have people like you on the show, and this was a lot of fun. So thank you so much. And if you have anything you want to plug, whether it's your social media or whatever.
Nah, no.
Okay. That's a pass from Andy. Well, you can follow us at Rock Hall Pod on Twitter and Instagram. And you can of course email us rockhallpod@gmail.com. If you want Kristen to see that message, you're going to have to say that somewhere in your email. You can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. And if you want to leave a review and rate us 5 stars only, of course, that would be very nice. That helps us to grow, I guess. Thank you to Mike Lloyd for the logo. Thank you to Yusu Kim for the music. And thank you to Pantheon Podcasts for hosting us. I'm Joe Quazala.
I'm Kristen Studdard, and I did not once ask a question about the hoagie, which displayed a lot of restraint. And I just would like it to be noted.
It's on the record.
Thank you.
And who cares
about the Rock Hall?
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.